thank you. We're going to move on to the question and answer session now. I know we have a bunch of question and answers about the questions about the commodity flow survey. I do see a question. I believe it was about the case study Mia was presenting, so I'm going to start with that. And if you do continue to think of questions for Johanna, Mia, or Chris, please go ahead and type those in. But the question I think it was for Mia was, what is the MAG employer database, and is it publicly available?
And I'm sorry, it's not necessarily the MAG employer database. It was the employment database for the MAG area, I guess, put out by Phoenix. And it was a publicly accessible database.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to move on to some for questions for Joy and John right now. But again, if you think of questions for Johanna, Mia, or Chris, please go ahead and we'll move back to those. So most of these questions are about the commodity flow survey. I'm just going to put them out to both of you and let either one of you jump in and answer. The first question was why were imports not included? That may have been about the reports that were going to be printed, I think.
Yeah, imports aren't included in the scope of the commodity flow survey. It's a U.S.-based establishment survey. We don't have the authority, appropriate list, field staff, or whatever to sample from those establishments in other countries. What we do get in terms of imports are those domestic legs. So as an import or a good comes into the country, and let's say it comes through a port and moves to a distribution center outside the port area, that's where we would pick up the good. But in terms of sampling companies in other countries, obviously we don't have the authority, sufficient list, etc., to do that.
Okay.
So I hope that that's the question Eric was asking.
Okay. And have you... I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, John, did you have anything to add to it?
No, I think that covers it pretty well. As you mentioned, one of the features would be we really don't have a universe of importers that we could really blend in there. It'd probably be a completely different industry coverage, I think, as far as that goes, and that would limit us as well.
Okay. The next question, have you thought of adding in a question on vehicle type? It would be helpful to link the type of freight transported by a specific vehicle class.
That hasn't really come up. I suspect there would be some issues in trying to add that to the commodity flow collection instrument. Right now, we break out truck, for example, into private truck and for hire truck, which granted isn't all that complex a breakout, and yet we have a sufficient number of problems trying to ensure the quality of that minor breakout right there. And along with the fact that each shipment could be not just truck, but rail, or what we call parcel, waterway shipments, things like that, we'd be trying to target a very specific subset there by adding that in that additional information, but it hasn't been really one of our priorities so far.
Yeah, I agree with John in that. I think it's the type of information or the level of detail about mode that most respondents just don't have. And it's kind of the problem we ran into with trying to add the intermodal question this time. It's not only that the respondent didn't really understand what intermodal was, but in some cases they just don't know. They may know a truck of some type shows up at their loading dock, puts the shipment or shipments in the truck, but then they don't know what happens after that. And it could go from truck to rail to some other mode, but sometimes they do, but it's kind of surprising how much of the time they don't know that sort of basic information about how their product is being transported.
I think that to add to that, this is Mike Sprung from Federal Highways Freight Office, that a lot of times the respondents for the Commodity Flow Survey are filling this out after the fact. In fact, in most cases, they're filling it out after the fact and going through a list of records from the week that they're being surveyed for. And to ask a question like that at that point, you really have a hard time getting any level of accurate data from the respondents.
Thank you. Are there movements by day of the week by state available?
No, they're not. That's very specific for a sample survey of this type. Even though we do identify when the shipments took place, the design is such that we're aiming to come up with a annual estimate of the shipments and not day by day.
I think you may have answered this in your presentation, but if you could just mention again what CFS 07 printed reports will be created.
Yeah, just the three national level reports, the U.S. report, the hazardous materials report, and the export report. Unlike we've done in the past, we will not be doing print publications for any of the state or metropolitan areas.
Okay. And how are companies like UPS and FedEx handled?
I think I hope I'm answering your question, Elaine. The CFS, again, is shipper-based, so the establishments we have and sample are shippers. They're not transportation companies, and again, it's about outbound shipments, not shipments coming inbound. We do capture UPS and FedEx shipments if the shipping establishment and sample is using UPS and FedEx as their transportation provider. But in terms of sampling the company of FedEx or UPS, we do not do that. And again, UPS and FedEx shipments are included in our parcel shipment estimates.
Okay. And when will the state data be posted on AFF?
State level data will be out with the final report series in December of 2009.
Okay. Are all MSAs included?
No. essentially, the MSAs are typically based on those larger metropolitan statistical areas that were used in sampling and where we have sufficient enough data to publish, and I believe in 2002 we had around 64.
Right around there.
And I think we have a few more this time around for 2007. John, you have some information on where you can go to find which MAs we'll be publishing data on?
Right. In fact, if they want to, they can go to the 2002 Commodity Flow Survey sites under either AFF or under our census.gov/CFS site for 2002, and the MA level reports there would give you a pretty good idea of the level of MAs that we cover. As Joy mentioned, there's a few more that we added in for 2007. Mostly they're what we would call gateways, and maybe they're not large in population size, but we think they have been increasing in terms of economic and transportation activity. So places like Beaumont, Port Arthur, Texas, Corpus Christi, Kingsville, Texas, El Paso, and so on have been broken out and are included in the 2007 as separate MSAs that we would plan to publish for.
Thank you.
Plus, if they want a complete list and have trouble finding it anywhere on our site, they can always email me and I can provide them that information.
Yeah, it's also on, we also have a listing of the Metropolitan Area Reports from 2002 on the BTS website.
Okay. Do you release any information on single shipments?
No. That's a quick one. No.
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that, besides just wouldn't be statistically significant, is that we have strict confidentiality rules on that.
And in the past, we have gotten a lot of requests for micro data or data at the shipment level. But at least at this time, in planning for the 2007, given the confidentiality restrictions that we're under, there's just no way that we can release shipment level data.
What was the response rate and what incentives did you use to maximize responses?
Probably depends on what you want to call response rate. And in fact, we're looking into the various measures and coming up with the best measure of a true response rate when you take into account the weighted components of the CFS and how that comes into play. Now, in terms of a straight return rate, mail out, mail back type of situation, I would say we approached 70%, pretty close to 70% in each of the quarters. On that. What we did to try to increase that response rate was the survey, as part of the economic census, is a mandatory survey. Response is required by law. And we do, in fact, take note of the confidentiality aspects of the survey. That's something that Census takes very seriously, and we think helps with our response rates across the board in all our programs. As well, we did a mail follow-up to all the respondents that were delinquent in each quarter, reminding them that it was mandatory, and gave them a complete new package of forms and instruction guide and so on. And as well, midway through the processing cycle, if we had establishments, and especially the larger ones, that had not reported in either of the first two quarters, we made calls to them, reminded them, see if they had any questions, if they need special reporting arrangements, and so on. Some of those folks took us up on our limited option this time around for electronic reporting capability, and many of them were able to report based on just some secure Excel sheet reporting that we provided to them. And we have plans to, you know, for a 2012 CFS, we would certainly make electronic reporting a key component of our data collection phase, because more and more establishments are expecting that option.
Will the CFS origin and destination table be just total flow state to state, or will it be by state and industry?
Well, currently we are planning to produce flow tables by state and industry. Because the industry tables are new this time around, we're going to have to look at the data and make sure that the data are sufficient enough or of sufficient enough quality to produce them. But at the time, it is our plan to do so.
And we would still continue the data sets that we had before, such as commodity by mode, by origin, by destination.
Okay. Let's see, we have another question here. It seems to be a little incomplete. Amir, if you want to retype your question, I'm not quite sure what the question is there. I'm not sure if any public data source is available containing the information of each shipment.
There really isn't, only in the aggregate form that we publish. The only way to get the individual shipment information or micro-level data is through our Center for Economic Studies at Census Bureau, and there's a process outlined on their website that I can direct people to if they're interested. But under certain conditions, we do allow researchers to become sworn special status folks and perform certain projects that would be a benefit to both Census and the researchers to use the microdata. And of course, anything that would be taken out of the center would have to pass a disclosure review as well.
And then going back to the vehicle class question, do you think it would be effective if an establishment survey included a picture of the vehicle class type, or if vehicle class information could be obtained, would it be useful to others?
Simply, I would say yes and no. Again, for the commodities flow survey, I'm really not too sure what the benefit would be of a picture, given some of the reasons we had already stated. The person filling the form a lot of times just doesn't know. They don't see the truck. As Mike pointed out, it's done retrospectively after the fact. Do I think it would be useful? It's more for the users to weigh in, but I could certainly see some potential for that data.
Sure, I would think if it ever did become an item on the commodity flow survey, at the very least in the instruction guides and the web links and all, we could include examples and photos and silhouettes of the types of vehicles, sure.
Okay. I'm going to go back to a question for Chris now, based on the case that you presented. Can you please expand on your comment about no single type, such as establishment, operator, or distributor, or mode, such as intercept, telephone, or web, meets needs at the local level?
What I was trying to get at there is the fact that there's no single one method of data collection by itself or sampling methodology in and of itself that is suited for, you know, commercial surveys across the board at the at general level. Rather, what I was trying to get across is that definitely when coming up with a research method for a commercial vehicle survey, one should really take a close look at the population that they're trying to capture data from, as well as the environment, the survey environment, so to speak, where you'll be conducting the survey, the pros and cons of each mode of data collection regarding response rate and potential cost, and then taking that approach in identifying the proper survey method to conduct your survey.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
And then going back to the CFS survey, are the survey questions publicly available?
Yeah, the questionnaire is currently on, and I see the link has already been posted. If you go to the www.census.gov/CFS website, you can obtain a PDF of the questionnaire directly from that site.
Okay. Mia actually sent me a comment. She expanded on the MAG employer database, and I'm going to just copy that in for everybody to see. But in the meantime, I don't see anything else typed in, but we can go ahead and open the phone lines now and see if anybody has any questions over the phone. So if the operator could give instructions on how to ask a question over the phone.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Please state your name clearly when prompted. Your name is required to introduce your question. To withdraw your request, press star 2. Once again, if you do have a question, press star 1. One moment, please, for the first question. Our first question comes from Eric Johnson. Your line is open.
Hi, I'm wondering about the local surveys. This is basically a question about participation by the respondents. How are the challenges with regards to confidentiality? I know you talked about it a little bit, but can you maybe add a little detail to that for our benefit?
Are you saying?
Well, they're not really. See, this isn't a federally mandated survey if you're going locally, and my question really is was really the response fairly easy with them just seeing the logic and the rationale for doing the survey and participating on that standpoint? Were the issues of confidentiality really a problem or a question that came up at all, and if they were, how did you navigate around that with them?
Okay.
So this is really thinking about how to navigate around an interview with a potential respondent, and really defining when do you give up with them because they really don't want to tell you anything.
Right. I think certainly confidentiality and concerns about privacy of information and confidentiality are there. I think in the surveys of ship that we did, that even in some ways more constraining on response, just people's time strain. Number one, getting to the right person, if you notice the non-contact and non-contact rates that both I mentioned in the survey of shippers in Georgia and Mia mentioned in the survey of shippers in Phoenix, very high non-contact rates, just not being able to get someone at the phone. I think a lot of these companies are sort of mom-and-pop companies, and so they're multitasking, doing lots of different things within the organization. So I think, just the type of firms that we're surveying a lot of times at the local area are an impact response. Obviously, once you do get a person, then you need to having a letter or having some sort of way of documenting that the survey is being done for the local public agency does help, certainly. And then just as you would in any normal survey, letting the individual know that the information will be held confidence and that our methods of separating identifiers from survey data is very important. But I'm not sure that it's really I'm trying to get to this idea of when you know when you know that the that it's privacy of information that they're concerned about, as opposed to other thing, other factors that are going on at that particular time. What we find, and that's why I'm saying, I'm not sure that privacy is as big an issue sometimes as just time constraints. Because I know if we go back to the same individual who has said that they don't want to participate for whatever reason at time A, if we go back sometimes 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later, that person will participate. Or if we go back in person rather over the phone, that person will participate. So we haven't changed their concerns about privacy. We've just changed the time of which, or the context in which we're making the survey request. I don't know if that answers your question. Hello?
I'll reopen the line.
I want to answer more questions.
And I show no questions at this time. Once again, if you do have a question, press star 1 and state your name.
Well, while we're waiting to see if any more questions come in over the phone, we did have another question typed in. I'm going to put this out to all the presenters. This person said, our DOT sends out a team to each business establishment in communities of 5,000 or more in population. The business contact is already being made to collect data for associate economic data for modeling. Are you aware of state DOTs that are including freight data surveys with the establishment surveys? Anything from...
Does the person define a freight data survey?
Yeah, that's... Yeah. I'm confused by the freight data and establishment.
Marilee, maybe if you want to call into over the phone, maybe if you want to expand on your question a little bit more, that might help. And I believe it's star 1 to say anything over the phone.
I'm showing no questions at the time.
Okay. Well, I think that question came from Marilee Manalo. Marilee, if you wanted to over the phone or type in any more information just to expand a little more on what you mean by freight data surveys. In the meantime, I don't see any other questions typed in, and I don't think we have anything else over the phone, so...
And Marilee Manalo did just queue up. Her line is open.
Okay.
Yeah, the idea that I was wondering about is having, like, a two-page freight data survey that would be added to the already developed establishment surveys, and they collect socioeconomic data based on, they collect it for a town, and they break it down by, you know, how many students, how many people live in a, you know, how many housing units there are, et cetera, et cetera, but they actually visit the businesses. And along with that, I thought it would be useful to then connect freight data to that business, asking certain things such as, you know, what type of, you know, what's the weight, what, how often is your shipment, when is the shipment. I mean, I've got a list of different things that could, some of you, you know, already use those same, you know, types of data in your surveys, but have it like on a two-pager that they could finish along, you know, we've already got them there. And just have them fill that out, find out the weight, maybe the vehicle type, and then we could use that information, and we would know at least what's going on within our state, and we would know what shipments are local versus which ones are passing through, which we do know some of that, but it would give us more of the local information. Does that explain what I was missing?
It sounds like you already have a survey that's out in the field, and you're asking about augmenting or appending questions about freight movement on that survey?
Mm-hmm.
I personally am not aware of any state DOTs who do that, but that's really not my background or where I would necessarily be aware. One thing I would mention is there's always a danger when designing survey or data collection instruments, and that because you do have the contact and the sample and a limited pot of funds to collect data, there's this, you know, propensity sometimes to want to do it all with one thing. And a lot of times that kind of that can backfire on you, in that either you increase the burden on a respondent so much that, you know, they're not willing to participate at all, or especially in the case of an establishment survey, it's hard enough to get to the right person that can answer a limited or more focused set of questions. So in terms of whether or not other states are doing this, I really don't know, but just in terms of trying to design something that might be multi-purpose, you know, again, I would just caution, you know, be careful, because your response rate and your quality data could suffer as a result.
Yeah, I would echo that. This is John Fowler. What kind of rang a bell was back before the commodity flow survey, we had a commodity transportation survey, and at one point I believe they tried to change the methodology on that to make it less burdensome and sort of more summary level type of approach, as opposed to shipment by shipment that we have now. And at least in the 83 version of that, we really weren't able to publish anything because of reliability and quality issues on that. So Joy's right, there are some real dangers in trying to come up with a quick summary version of the types of freight movements. And I might be able to supplement something with a quick question or two and still make it worthwhile depending upon your specific goal, but it does have some caveats, I think.
And I would say if we do have any state DOTs that are on the call and have any thoughts and have done anything like this, go feel free to type it into the chat area, or maybe get in touch with Marilee and discuss that more. The listserv is another area where you could send that information over. Do we have any other questions over the phone?
There are no other questions at this time.
Okay. Well, I think we're going to go ahead and close out for today. Then I'd like to thank all of our presenters for today's webinar. We had a really good turnout today, and I think it was a good topic, and we had some good presentations. The next seminar is going to be held on January 21st. We're still in the process of finalizing the topic for that seminar, so it's not available for registration yet, but more information will be sent out through the listserv as soon as it becomes available. So with that, we're going to end for today. Thank you, everybody, and have a great holiday and Happy New Year.